Welcome to Chapels from Rosedale Bible College. Thanks for joining our community for weekly chapels recorded on our campus in Rosedale, Ohio. We hope you are challenged and inspired by what you hear. Enjoy.
Culturally, as you likely know, you're at Bible college. So I'm guessing you know this as you read through this story. Culturally, it was expected of this neighbor, of this friend that we are reading about, that the person that is receiving an unexpected traveler late at night, it was expected that in this culture, they would invite the person in. Much in the same way that when I lived in East Africa, if I showed up at somebody's house, I would be offered tea at all times. And I would offer the exact same thing to somebody that was visiting me. It was like visiting somebody in the global South now, not like visiting someone in Columbus or definitely not New York City or somewhere that's very individualistic. It was expected that this person would help out the traveler at night. And it was also expected that if he had something that he needed, that his friend whose door he was knocking on, it would have been expected that he would have said, sure, let me open the door. Here's some bread. Go on your way. You have what you need. But the friend says instead, we read in verse 7, he says, I'm in bed for the night. Me and my family were tucked away at night. The door is barred. The door is locked. Please go away. You're bothering me right now. As I read this story, there's two things that pop out to me right away. With my lenses on as I read this, there's two things that jump off the page to me that I already referenced. The first one is that there's a surprise guest late at night. That seems odd. And the other surprise is the fact that there's a late night food request happening on the doorstep of a neighbor's house. That seems odd to me as well. But for Jesus's hearers listening to this parable, those would not have been the two things that strike them as odd. The odd thing would have been the fact that this person's friend denied his request. The odd thing would have been that his friend said, no, dude, I'm in bed, get lost. That would have been the jarring part of this story. But as we read on in verse 8, this person that Jesus is using to illustrate prayer is undeterred. He's undeterred in this. He says, I tell you, even though he will not get up, talking about the friend he went to who said, hey, get off my step right now. Even though he would not get up and give the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, that's the words that the NIV uses, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as he needs. In the NLT, it says, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. He will answer the door eventually, but he's not answering the door because of friendship. He's answering the door because, frankly, you're pounding down the door and you're somewhat annoying to him at this place, and the persistence is paying off. This is a pretty vivid picture. Like, imagine that Aaron and Katarina are living in their new house or the apartment they're in now. And imagine you went to their house late at night after they were in bed and you knocked on their door and you needed something. Like, you were in a real bind. You needed to talk to somebody. You needed counsel. And they at first they said, no, get lost. But then eventually, after you knocked about four more times, Aaron opened the door and said, okay, listen, I'm going to talk to you. But just so you know, I am not talking to you because I'm your friend or because I like you. The reason I'm doing this is because of your shameless persistence. The audacity that you had to do this is why I'm opening the door to you. That's not a very warm, fuzzy picture. This is not a warm, fuzzy picture that Jesus is painting with this parable. I think Aaron would probably open the door to you, potentially. We'll see. You can talk to Aaron about that later. We'll move that away from the illustration. Sorry, Aaron. It says, because of your persistence, that is why the friend opened the door. The Greek word used here that's translated as persistence in the NLT, and the NIV is audacity, shameless audacity. In the ESV, it's impudence, which I must confess, I don't think I've ever used the word impudence in my life. So we're going to move on from impudence and focus on persistence and audacity. Instead, he says, there was this, because of this unabashed, unembarrassed boldness that you had, that is why the door was open to you. That is why your request was given. I like the word audacity that is used in the NIV. I'm reading through the NLT in my own Bible, but I really like the use of the word audacity in the NIV because it gives the picture of the persistence wasn't, it wasn't just in the fact that someone's hammering on a door forever. It was the willingness to put yourself out there, and even after you were denied, even after this person was denied, to say, I'm going to continue to ask. I'm going to put myself out there. And the almost the audacity of the ask is what is the honorable thing here. You'll notice in your Bible, if you look to verse 8, likely you have a little asterisk or a footnote, depending on what kind of Bible you have. And there's also thought here that the shamelessness that is being offered, there's some consideration of, is this just the shamelessness of the person on the doorstep? Or is this being answered? Is the door answered because actually the homeowner would actually be somehow embarrassed in the community? There would be shame on him or her in the community if they turned away someone at the door late at night. This might actually hurt their reputation. There's different thoughts on what direction that shamelessness is being directed towards. Is it shamelessness specifically on the person knocking? Or is there also some connection to the person that's inside the house? For us, in this case, we'll focus primarily on the person that's knocking, because that's where Jesus continues on as we go on in verse 9. He says, because of this, using this verse as an illustration, this story, he says, so keep on asking and you'll receive. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking, just like this person at the door of his buddy's house at midnight. Keep on knocking, and eventually the door is going to be opened for you. It's an ongoing, shameless, unembarrassed petition and request, not something that is done and then it's over, but Jesus gives us this idea that it's an ongoing reality. It's an ongoing reality for us as we connect this directly to his instructions and how we should pray. He continues on then, if you read on in verse 11, to compare his own Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, and God's willingness and desire to be answering our requests, and compares that to us as earthly fathers. As a dad, my boys ask for food approximately, if I'm home, approximately every 2 hours, it feels like. That's being gracious to them. Probably more like every hour. Something I normally don't deal with because I'm not at home normally during the day except on the weekends. But there's food being asked for all the time. They're hungry. They get it pretty honestly from their papa. But we lean into that kind of an illustration that Jesus says, how many of you, for as you earthly fathers or earthly mothers, if your child asks for something, they ask for something good like a fish, are you going to give them something bad like a snake? Or if they ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? It's a self-answering question. He says, of course not. Of course that's not your reality. He says, so just in the same way, how much more is your Heavenly Father going to give you something good, going to give the Holy Spirit to all of those who ask? He says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Spirit to those who ask him? As you reflect back on your time with God, your prayer life, over the past, let's say, week, 2 weeks, what are the things that you primarily are asking God for? In the times of your prayer, like, what are the things that you are petitioning to God for your sake, for the sake of others? What does that look like in your life? Think about that for a second. Is it personal needs? Is it personal wants? Relief from suffering that you're going through? Relief from suffering that a loved one is going through? Is it for protection, for something that you're facing in life? Those are all very, very, very good things to be praying for. They're things that I pray for. My brother was just in the hospital over this last week, and I was praying for those things for him. I think God was very pleased with that, and he answered those prayers. But Jesus does not say here that at the end of our knocking, that you will receive the thing you're asking for, that is a temporary relief from something in this world. That might be the case at times. I've experienced that to be the case, and I ask for that. I ask for healing in my life. I ask for healing in loved ones' lives, and I ask that continuously with the expectation that my Heavenly Father desires to heal. and to bring restoration into the world. But the promise that we are receiving is that Jesus says that I will give myself to all of those who ask. More specifically, he says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Like, as you're knocking on the door, as you're seeking, am I seeking what Jesus says is actually promised here, which is the Spirit with me, which is knowledge of the Spirit with me and the comfort that he would bring and the direction that he would give me in my life in a way that would exalt Jesus in my life? Because that's actually what the promise is here. Over the past number of weeks, so this isn't hypothetical for me as I'm talking about this to you. Over the past few weeks, I've had quite a few different things on my mind, some decisions in life, practical stressors in life, to be honest, that I've been talking to God about a lot. That's been kind of the center of my prayers. And I haven't felt the direction that I've been wanting. I haven't felt clear direction from God in areas that I think, God, I need you to show me what to do. And over the past week or so, God gave me a very specific invitation. He gave me a very specific invitation that, you know how sometimes when God like reveals something to you, he speaks to you by his Spirit, and it actually is kind of a rebuke, but it actually comes as an invitation. That's good. But this one. The invitation was this. It was actually the words from Jeremiah 29. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. The implicit rebuke that my Heavenly Father gave to me through that was the fact that, to be very honest, I had not been seeking him with all of my heart. I was complaining to him about problems in my life. I was crying out for, just show me what to do, because I don't know what to do, God. Which can be a good prayer. Help is a great prayer. And that essentially was the prayer I was praying. But what God's promised to me, what he revealed to me and invited me into was said, son, just seek me. Seek me and come and be with me. Knock on my door unabashedly at midnight. Come and try and desire to be with me. He provided some comfort and a promise that, son, I'm going to show you some answers to your questions when you do that. But this is the avenue we're going through. We're not going through your just tell me what to do avenue. I believe that our Heavenly Father, that your Heavenly Father, I think we see it here in this parable, he is so pleased with our relentless knocking and searching for him. Our relentlessness, our not being satisfied with the amount of time we have with him, the connection we have with him, the encounter that we have with him that would come and transform our lives. Not because God is like the friend who would stay in bed. If you read this parable and your takeaway is that God is the friend who's on the inside of the house that has the door bolted, and we actually need to be really persistent to get God to listen to us, we're reading this the entirely wrong way. That is not who God is. God is not saying, you must come and grovel before me before I will open the door for you to give you bread. That's not who our Heavenly Father is. But what I believe he does want for us is he wants us to be persistent in seeking him as a way of forming habits, like spiritual habits in our own life. Spiritual habits that would connect us, spiritual habits that would actually pave the way to him as our true life source. Yesterday, it snowed. So it snowed yesterday morning. It was beautiful. It was beautiful, and I loved it until somebody right down the road from me decided to overshoot the turn and go plowing right into my neighbor's front yard, and in the process took out a power line, and so, boom, our power was knocked out at about 5:30 yesterday, came back on yesterday afternoon. But yesterday morning, we got up, and our kids are home from school, which is a lot of fun. It was great, except we quickly gave the, hey, bathrooms. We have well water. We then don't have water anymore because there's no power to the well pump. So when you use the bathroom, do not flush. Okay, noted. My son goes to the bathroom. Flushes immediately. Okay, yeah, it happens. An hour later, goes to the bathroom, and he literally goes to the bathroom, and he is singing to himself. I don't know what the song was, but it was something like, do not flush the toilet, do not flush the toilet. Like, he's literally rehearsing this in his mind, and when he was done using the toilet, what did he do? Muscle memory took account. He flushed the toilet and said, ah, I completely forgot. Like, it's just what you do. You use the toilet, you then flush, which is good, considering other problems we could have with little boys. But it's habit. It's like really, really powerful habit. That is the kind of habit, the ingrained habit, that if you play a sport, that you learn how to play a sport well. For me, I played basketball, wasn't very good at basketball, but I learned very specifically how to shoot a basketball. I learned very specific acronyms that would show me like what my shooting form is supposed to be like, so that when I'm 42 and I grab a ball and can't run a whole lot, but I still shoot exactly how I was taught at age 16 because of the power of muscle memory. This is the thing, the same habit that tells me how to shoot a basketball, the same habit that says when you go to the bathroom, whoop, you push that little lever right there. That same habit, I believe, is the same habit that our Heavenly Father desires for you and I to have in our relentless seeking after him, our relentless knocking and desiring to be with him. He knows that he satisfies. He knows that he is the way that we receive life, and he desires for us to be in life, in habits in life, in actions in our spiritual life that would connect us with him as the true vine. You're really busy right now, I'm assuming. You have finals next week, right? So I just saw somebody wince out there. Sorry, guys. I just actually finished up seminary about half a year ago, and so I empathize with the final couple weeks before the end of a semester. That's like really tons of pressure, so I empathize deeply with you. So please receive this invitation I'm giving you as something that if you have time, start it now. If you don't have time, that makes a whole lot of sense, because if I was in your shoes, I probably wouldn't have a lot of time either. Seek him wholeheartedly in prayer right now. Seek him wholeheartedly in prayer as you have space and margins in life over these next busy 2 weeks. After that, as you head home or whatever's coming up over the Christmas holidays, seek him wholeheartedly in the same way that the guy is at the doorstep of his friend who was initially turned away. Embrace that same level of unembarrassed just persistence and saying, God, I desire to be with you. He says, God, I know you have given me your spirit. We know that. If you're following Jesus as his disciple, you've repented and you're following him in wholehearted discipleship, his spirit is within you. But he desires to be present with us. He desires us to be aware daily of his presence with us, that would lead us, that would guide us, that would paint a picture of the beauty of Jesus. Get glimpses of that every single day. Seek him wholeheartedly in the same way that the guy who was turned away from his friend's house when he asked for some bread, the same way that he didn't turn away, he didn't take no as an answer. Seek persistence in your time with you. He is with you. He is with you. It's not about getting him to come and be with you. It's about getting our own eyes off of the stressors in my life, the fact that when I sit down so often, all I can hear is the fact that my heart's just beating. I got a whole lot of anxiety, a whole lot of stress. There's a lot of things in life that I'm focusing on. Take the invitation to be the persistent person at the doorstep saying, God, I desire to encounter you in your presence. I desire you to show me what to do in life. I desire you to give me answers, but I know that actually in your presence, and as I encounter you, that is where I will know your heart. That is where you believe. I'm going to pray a blessing over you guys in that. Guys, I'm learning this. I'm very, very, very much in process of this. So please receive this. Someone who's learning this and in process in this, praying blessing on fellow students just like myself, learning how to follow wholeheartedly after our master together. Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. Jesus, I thank you for every single student here today.
Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please share so others can benefit from it as well. And be sure to check out our other podcasts at rosedale.edu/podcasts.